Philip Petit's epic illegal Daredevil 1974 walk between the Twin Towers of the World Trade Center may be his most famous act of artistic rebellion, but it was just one moment in a lifetime of transgressive, subversive, and brave artistic acts. Petit is also a magician, juggler, visual artist, builder, and writer who has cultivated attitudes, resources, and techniques that allow him to tackle seemingly impossible feats. Every truly creative act, he argues, requires transgression of some kind. This outlaw sensibility is written about in his new book, Creativity, the Perfect Crime, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Philip Petit to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
Oh, thank you. It's a pleasure.
Very nice to have you on the program once again. What got you thinking about creativity as a crime, the perfect crime?
Well, because I think that if one starts creating within the path of acceptance and with all the rules framing their first step, that act of creation is going to be quite timid, don't you think?
Absolutely. So it takes a little bit more.
Yes, it takes a rebellion against the way that things are set or the way that we were told life should be. I mean, you have to be a leader, not a follower, to go on the path of the impossible. And you have to be, and again, that's the subtitle of the book, you have to be somewhat rebellious. You have to either refuse to know the rules or, having known them, abandon them to freely engage in pursuing your goal, and mostly if your goal is an impossible quest.
You make the point very early on in the book that you frown upon books about creativity. So how did you end up writing one?
Well, this actually, you paraphrased my exact first words of the book, and I wanted to, make this bold statement. And it is true, when I go to a bookstore and I pick up, and it's usually in the self-help department, and all those books, generally speaking, it's an author mentioning creative people, and very often the same, by the way, Einstein, the Beatles, but rarely the author itself, himself or herself. So in my case, it's really a completely different book, because first, it's not a treatise on creativity, and it's not a study, and it's not a lesson. It is more of a galopade, and I actually pull by the sleeve the reader behind me in a review of my life of creativity that started at 6 years old, resulted in me being thrown out of 5 different schools, and living the life of a poet autodidact. So that's a very different discourse than the one that usually are printed.
It begs the question, which is often asked about creativity, of if it's something that you can learn or if it's something that you're born with.
Well, both, but I do not like the concept of learning creativity. I think the best teacher of creativity is the one who leaves ajar doors and windows for the student, so to speak, to venture and to actually to learn by themselves, because I consider still that the best teacher is yourself. So, yes, I would say I don't believe that you're born with any talent. I believe that passion motorizes whatever calling you have inside of you, and you work on it.
But you did, I mean, even early on, if you look back, you had a talent at 6 years old, right? That is what you wanted to express and work with.
I do not believe that. I believe that what you call talent was a slow blooming of an attraction for something unusual. In my case, at 6 years old, I learned by myself, because there were no cassettes or no schools, the art of magic. And I immediately get caught into the quest to perfection. So that was not a talent. That was doing it 8 hours a day. That's why I was thrown out of school. You know, under my desk, I would manipulate cards instead of looking at the blackboard. So, no, I don't think it's a talent. Yes, it is a talent, but I don't think you're born with it or it's in you early. I think you found your passion, you develop it, and voila.
At what point did you find your passion? Did you know that you had found your passion?
Well, exactly at that age of six when I started grabbing a deck of cards that was way too large for my little kid's hands, and having an old book on manipulation that didn't have any photographs but engravings, and going right at the table of contents for the most difficult manipulation of card. So this tenacity and this passion, which is a little bit rare in a 6 years old, was the opening gate to a life of the same.
Did you feel that you did you have an outlaw mentality before the daredevil walk between the Twin Towers, or did that really come from that?
You know, it's funny, in my vocabulary, I never mentioned the word daredevil or stuntman or all those things which I see first attached to the circus, and I see framing the act of gambling your life, not carrying your life across. But that's a detail. And to answer your question, very early I got this sense of rebellion, and maybe it came from me acquiring in a hard way all my knowledge, since it didn't come from my teacher, it came from my observation and try and errors in life. So each victory became a secret, became something that I had to defend against the other or consider really as secret and had a lot of value since it was so hard to acquire. And thus, I became almost like an outlaw, somebody who would look over his shoulders. And as I progressed through life, my young life at the time, I did become an intellectual outlaw of sorts. I become paranoid. I become secretive. I become extremely possessive of my bits of knowledge that I will steal. You see, I would use the word steal here and there.
And do you feel that in looking at it that way, because ultimately, as the subtitle indicates, The Perfect Crime, that there is ultimately a coup involved where you have been able to perpetrate your craft?
Well, absolutely. I mean, I refuse to grow up in a sense, so the child in me make me see the process of creating as an adventure, sometimes as an escape, as a pursuit. All those words already are bordering on on what words you use to describe a bank robbery, you know, digging tunnel and going at night, sneaking in. So of course I am not a bank robber, I am an illegal wire walker. I don't take, I give the gift of inspiration by putting a wire illegally somewhere. But absolutely, the phases of doing a coup, the preparation, the sneaking, the recognition of the place, you know, staking the joint, all those things, which, by the way, color the title of my chapters in my book, and then the coup, as you mentioned, and then the aftermath, all those things are in a childlike way, probably not childish way, is what punctuate my approach to anything, to a regular goal or to the impossible.
You talk in the book about putting your mistakes to good. How do you do that, and how did you learn to do that?
Well, we are being told in our society, more or less, and sometimes in a unconscious way, to not do mistake and to give mistakes excuses, right? Why this went wrong? Well, instead of you turning against yourself, you're the culprit, and you analyze and you see what went wrong, you create a list of excuses. And I think that's very wrong. I think by intuition, again, this was not in my head, but by intuition as a kid, when I was doing a mistake, I was approaching the mistake, confronting it eye to eye, and then the mistake will teach me, you know, what I did wrong. It was actually, I love mistakes because they are our best teachers. And that's what I, you know, that's why it transpires in my philosophy and in my book, is that don't run away or don't cover it with a veil of excuse, but confront the mistake, and the mistake will teach you something. It's very positive.
You write in the book about feeling and about believing and understanding those concepts.
Well, I believe that to believe is a strong force in life in general and in creativity in particular. I push that to the extreme. I pierce the envelope because I actually share with the reader that I believe in miracle, myths, magic, legends. Traditions are carrying a lot of knowledge that is beautiful and important. So if you believe in those unbelievable items, you will expand the envelope of your creativity and you will become a poet creator. And I think we need to believe more. We when I look at people around in our 21st century, I see a lot of doubters and not many believers.
You write in the book, "Fear not, the impossible can't retaliate. You just proved it does not exist. That you had better believe." So I love that line that the impossible can't retaliate.
Well, I am a master at contradictions, and what you just excerpt from the book contain its own set of contradictions, because I just saluted the fact that the impossible, you know, prevents you from getting to your goal, and I said, but the impossible doesn't exist, and here I recall the fact that, you know, it doesn't exist, and yet it does. So my book is full of this either joyful and naive, either profound contradiction. And again, maybe I derive a bit from your question in my answer, but again, I think that stepping joyfully on the field of contradiction is a good spice for your creativity.
Are you hopeful of creativity? Do you see a lot of creativity around you, or are you mournful that we have lost a degree of creativity?
Well, let me give you my contradictory answer, yes and no. Truly, I am marveled at, for example, little kids raising their hand in a Q&A and surprising me and the audience with a question I've never heard before. How fresh, how inventive, how creative of those young kids. Or age doesn't matter there. It could be a very old person raising their hand and surprising us. But anyway, that is, on one hand, I love that and I've witnessed that, and it gives me joy of in life. And on the other hand, I exactly see the opposite. I see the boundaries or the what you put on horses, the blindfolds, you know, that people have or that people put on their kids from the very beginning of life, teaching them to follow, teaching them to not develop their personality, and that is super frightening. So I try to find my balance between those two extremes, and I think our century today has a lot of both. Fortunately, we still carry some of our fresh juice in our body, and on the other hand, I think we are drying up and we are abiding by the rules in a suffocating way. So I think one has to find the balance there.
The name of the book is Creativity, The Perfect Crime. It is published by Riverhead Books. And Philip Petit will be at Oblong Books in Rhinebeck on Wednesday, the 28th of May. Philip will be at Oblong Rhinebeck to discuss his newest book, Creativity, The Perfect Crime. Philip, thank you very much for being with us. It's a great pleasure to have you on the program and to speak with you as always, and have a wonderful time in Rhinebeck.
Thank you very much.
A great pleasure. Thank you. Again, the name of the book is Creativity, The Perfect Crime. Philip Petit will be at the Oblong Books and Music Store in Rhinebeck at 7 o'clock. You can find out more information by going to their website, oblongbooks.com. Oblongbooks.com. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.